Great. Well, why don't we pray briefly before I start? Lord God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you are good. Thank you that you are a God of love. We pray, Father, that you would help us as we come to grips with this really sensitive and really difficult issue. I pray that you would guide us now, guide us in understanding and in truth, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that if there's anything that I will say that is not of you and isn't right, Lord God, that you would bring discernment to those listening, Lord God, and that you would bring discernment to me as well, Father. Yeah, Lord God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'd like to extend my welcome to all of you here this evening. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Dan Thompson, and I am the student pastor here at Christchurch Virginia Water. So that kind of means, broadly speaking, that I work alongside the students here and the young adults as well. This evening, we're continuing through our series of I Have a Friend Who... And so this evening we come to the question of, I have a friend who has a problem with suffering. And that's a really big area, isn't it? That's a really big issue that all of us at some point will have confronted with. And it's hard, isn't it? Because there is pain and there is suffering all around us. You know, all you have to do is switch on the news and you'll hear all kinds of horrible stories of kidnappings or murder or war or natural disaster. I was doing some research, and apparently we are coming up to about 47 million deaths this year alone, and over 6 million of them were under 5-year-olds. We have apparently almost 900 million undernourished people in the world today. But then on a more personal note, you know, the chances are that all of us at some point will have or will experience or have someone that we know that has experienced terrible pain or terrible trials that they've been going through, whether that's physically or mentally or emotionally. Suffering is all around us, isn't it? And so actually it's kind of hard not to ask that question, isn't it? It's hard not to ask the question, why? Why, God? Why is there so much pain? Why is there so much suffering? And it's a massive question. It's a massive question. And I'm going to say from the outset that there is just no way I'm going to be able to cover every aspect of this question in 20 minutes. It's just not going to happen. So I apologize that if at the end you still have lots of questions. I suspect that maybe you might leave with more questions than when you started with, but that's okay. But what we are going to do is we're going to go through some thoughts from the Bible. We can't cover everything, but we're going to look at some things that the Bible says about suffering and hopefully start to map out some kind of theological framework for this massive issue. Because let's face it, the title is I Have a Friend Who, but the reality is that all of us probably at some point will struggle with this question. And even if you have that theological framework, even if you have that, you know, intellectually you've dealt with the problem, in that moment, in that time, when you are going through really hard stuff, or someone really close to you gets really sick, or you go through times of financial difficulty, or you go through any kind of number of different struggles and issues, in that time, it's hard and it's a big question. In that moment, you will be thinking, why is this happening? Why? And you may have all the kind of the head knowledge, but in that moment, it's hard. And actually, for the first thing in terms of dealing with a friend who has a problem with suffering, actually, sometimes there is nothing that you can say. You just have to express God's love and compassion with them. Sometimes you can say all the right things. Sometimes they know all the right things already. But in that moment, they need some compassion. Even in the case of, in the Bible, we see Job. One of the best things that his friends did, actually, was just sit with him. And they just sat with him for a week. In his loss. And then they started to say stuff, and that's when they started to mess up. So sometimes, just from the start, sometimes actually knowing all the answers isn't enough in that moment when you're going through that really hard time. So I want to say that from the outset, and I want to say that, you know, if you are going through a really hard time, it's difficult, even if you know all the answers, and I accept that, and I realize that. But having said that, in some ways, that's even more reason to go through the head stuff so that we're prepared, so that we know that in that moment when we or someone we know about or someone we care about is in that moment of why, God, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to this person that I care about? Why is this happening across the world? Why is this happening all around me? So we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about this. And it's a massive question. And actually, what I want to say is that I think it's okay. It's okay to ask the question. It's okay to ask the question because a lot of people in the Bible ask the question. And the Bible is full of lots of different characters who are asking God, why? Why, God? Why is there this pain? Why is there this suffering? You know, I've already mentioned Job. That's a massive example of someone who just doesn't understand why he's going through such a big time of difficulty. You know, the Psalms are full of people that are saying, God, why? Why is there all this hurt? Why is there this pain? How long, O Lord? And actually, I want to say as well that I think it's okay to have a problem with suffering. I think it's okay to have a problem with suffering, because suffering is not right. It's not okay. Suffering sucks. pain sucks. It's not okay. It's not right. And actually, I don't think we should be okay with it, because I don't think that God is okay with it. God is not okay with suffering. He doesn't delight in suffering. He doesn't enjoy suffering. And actually, if you don't believe in any kind of God, then suffering really is, I mean, it's still a problem because we don't like it, but it's just a natural consequence. It's just what happens. It's just part of life. It's just the cycle of life. So it's a problem in terms of we don't like it, but it's not a philosophical problem. It's not a theological problem. And so even the fact that we want to accept that it's a problem, we accept it because we know that it's not right. It's not how we're supposed to be. It's not how we're supposed to live. So God is not okay with suffering. And actually, I would suggest that the whole Bible narrative essentially is a story about God seeing how suffering enters into the world and God making a solution. And I think that the whole Bible narrative essentially is about that. It's about bringing a solution to the problem of suffering. So God is not okay with suffering, and he is not inactive about suffering. And the whole Bible is about his solution to it. So actually, the main thing that I want to talk about on this evening is not is actually not why does suffering exist, but actually what has God done about it. And that may seem like a bit of a cop-out to talk about it in that way, but actually I want to talk about it that way because I think that that's the predominant way that suffering is addressed in the Bible. It doesn't answer all of our questions, but it shows us that God has made a solution. And actually, I think through this process, we will deal with a lot of those why questions as well. But we can't cover it all. So I'm sure that we'll still have questions at the end, which is completely fine. So the way I'm going to tackle this is through showing three key moments in history, three key moments to do with suffering in history. And the first key moment we're going to look at is when sin entered the world. So if you want to have your kind of Bibles loosely open at Genesis, kind of chapters 1 to 3, we're going to start right at the beginning, right at the start. And you can see through the creation narrative, you have this repeated refrain of God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. He created this and he saw that it was good. And then on the very last day, in verse 31, it said, God saw all that he had made and it was very good. So when God created the world, it was good. It was faultless. So you can see that suffering was not part of God's original design. It was not part of the original plan or the original design of the earth. Something else came in. And that was because we messed it up. Sin entered into humanity. God gave us one rule. He gave us one rule and we couldn't keep it. And we fell from God. He gave us the rule to not eat from the fruit. And we saw in the passage that Jess read for us earlier that we couldn't keep it. We turned away from God and sin entered into our lives. And with it entered evil and suffering. And you can see you have this kind of expression of knowing good and evil. So verse 22 says, of chapter 3, says, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And there's two kind of ways that we can understand the word knowing. We kind of understand the word knowing as in having a better understanding of. So I can know a historical figure better. But there's also a way of understanding the word knowing as in experiencing it. So I can know a historical figure better, or I can know Rich better through our friendship. So there's this sense of, yes, so they know good and evil better on an intellectual level, but also they know good and evil in that now they experience good and evil. Now evil is a regular part of their lives, is a regular part of who they are. And you know, we see that in the very next chapter, in chapter 4, we have the first ever murder. So sin has entered into the world, and with it has entered all kinds of pain and evil and suffering. You know, and you can see that a lot of suffering in the world, even just looking around, is caused by us. It's caused by human beings doing horrible things to other human beings. And so at this point, some of you might be thinking, okay, well, what about natural disasters? And what about things that humans haven't necessarily directly caused? Well, that's a really hard question, and I can't claim that I'm going to be able to cover all of that in this talk. But you can see, at the very least, in this kind of chapter, that the earth is affected by the fall. So you see in chapter 3, verse 17, you see, cursed is the ground because of you. So you can see that on some level, the earth itself is affected by sin. So even the earth itself is affected by sin. And I know that doesn't nicely answer maybe all our questions about natural pain, but at least you've got something weighing on that. And I'm not going to talk any more about that, so I'm sorry. But if you have any questions about that, feel free to talk to me afterwards. And there are a lot of great kind of Christian books on that that goes into that more depth. But that's the first moment in history and that we're going to look at. We're going to see that sin entered the world. And now we're going to skip right ahead from the very start to the very end. So we're going to look at the time where temporary suffering ends forever. And this is a future moment. It's a future moment. It hasn't happened yet. But it is as sure as the first moment. It is sealed in history. And it's a real hope for us. It's a hope for us that suffering will not continue forever in this way, for us or for creation. And we saw this a little bit, didn't we, in the Romans passage we looked at, in Romans chapter 8. I'll just read from verse 18 to 21. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So we can see that sufferings are not going to last forever. And we have a really amazing and really clear picture of this right at the end in Revelation chapter 21. So we've gone right from the start of the Bible, now right to the end. So Revelation 21 verses 1 to 4 says, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So we can see that the old order will pass. Temporary suffering will end forever. But notice, I've been quite deliberate in the way I've said that temporary suffering will end forever, because this isn't the whole picture. If we even look just a few verses before, we find out that although temporary suffering will end, for some, it will be the opposite. So the Bible tells us that either, at this moment, you will either be eternally without suffering, or you will be eternally with suffering. So just a few verses before, in Revelation chapter 20, 14, 15, it says, Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So this is something that we don't really like talking about, do we? We don't like it because it feels uncomfortable and it feels unloving or angry to talk about something like hell. But actually, I want to talk about it this evening, because it would be hateful and angry not to talk about it. Just think about it. If as Christians we really honestly believe that this is a reality, that we have these two consequences. Either we will be eternally without suffering, or we will be eternally with suffering. It would be incredibly unloving and incredibly selfish not to talk about that, because it is a serious thing. It's a serious consequence. We don't like talking about it, but we need to. Because God is loving. He is loving and he is patient, but he is also just. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. God cannot let sin go unpunished. So you see how the first moment is already influencing the second moment. You know, God could have, he could have finally ended temporary sufferings a long time ago. And he could have just done it by wiping us all out. But the fact that we are still here today shows that God is patient with us, that he loves us, that he wants to bring an end to our suffering, that he wants to bring an end to that, because sin stops us from being in right relationship with God. Sin stops us from being able to enter into his presence, and sin cannot go unpunished. And actually, I think that the suffering that we experience now is really just a shadow. It's just a shadow of what God has rescued us from as Christians. It's just a shadow of the suffering that we could have if we don't turn to him. So we've gone right from the very first moment to the very end. And I know that's kind of a strange order, but the third moment I want to talk about, I've left till last, because firstly, I think it's the most important thing to talk about, and I want to end with that, but also because I think you need to understand the first and second moment in order to really understand this third moment fully. And the third moment I want to talk about is the ultimate moment of suffering. So God wanted to solve the problem of sin. He wanted to solve the problem of suffering so that we could escape punishment, so that we could escape eternal suffering, and so that he could solve suffering without destroying all of us. And in order for God to do that justly, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So death had to happen. And for that to happen justly, God himself had to suffer. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, down to earth to live in this fallen, broken, suffering world, to take on all that that entails, all the suffering and pain that's here, but then to die the death that we deserved, taking all of our sins in our place. In that moment, he took on the entire fury of hell. He took on all of God's righteous anger against sin and suffering, and it was poured onto him in that one moment. That is the ultimate moment of suffering. You know, there are so many Bible passages that talk about this, but I just wanted to read out some verses from Romans chapter 3. So I'm just going to read from verse 21. It says, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." So you can see, God sent his son to die for us, for our sins. And this moment is the pivotal moment. It is the pivotal moment of human history. Everything before this in the Bible, everything before this in human history led up to this point. And everything since then has followed on from that point. The entire history of the human race is anchored on this one moment, when Christ died for us and rose again to break the power of sin and death. And for us now, as we look at suffering, that means two things, or at least two things that I want to talk about today, that can help us in moments of suffering. And firstly, it shows us that God knows suffering. He knows suffering. Sometimes in those moments, it's really tempting to think, God, you don't understand. You don't know. But he does know. He knows better than us. He understands our pain. He understands our suffering. And actually, really, we are the ones that don't understand. We don't understand his suffering because nothing we could experience, even the worst kinds of pain and suffering we could experience in this life, compare in any way to that moment of suffering on the cross. So when we are going through those times, we can be comforted in the knowledge that God knows. God knows. He understands. But also, we are comforted in the knowledge that we can have freedom from eternal suffering. It doesn't mean that when we become a Christian, all our temporary sufferings go away just like that. But what it does mean is that eternally, we will be free from suffering. And one day, it will all end. And that's a great comfort. It's a great comfort, but it's also an amazing, a great challenge, isn't it? You know, I was talking about this earlier, that if we believe that we can have freedom from eternal suffering, or we can suffer eternally based on faith through Jesus Christ, that is a challenge, because how can we stand by and watch as people that we know are doomed? How can we stand by and not share with them this message? How can we stand by and not tell them? If we are challenged at all by the notion of suffering, we should be so much more challenged by the idea that we don't want people to experience that suffering eternally. And actually, I think that everything, the Bible shows us that everything in this life is preparation for what's next. You know, we saw in the Revelation passage, didn't we, that the church was described as a bride being presented before its husband. And in some ways, in many ways, this whole life is like a long engagement for us, isn't it? It's an engagement as we get ready to be wed to Christ. And this includes our suffering. Suffering is part of our preparation. And part of that is because it reminds us of how much we need God. So it reminds us of how much we need God in terms of we need repentance. We need to turn away from our sin and come to him, because we do not want to experience suffering eternally. We do not want to experience pain eternally. So it reminds us how much we need God in terms of repentance. But it also, even as Christians, reminds us how much we need God in that we cannot do it by ourselves, can we? Sometimes our suffering really reminds us, brings us back to we need God, we need Jesus Christ, we need the Holy Spirit working and moving in our lives. We can't do it by ourselves, can we? And suffering shows us that. Suffering reminds us that we need to cling to Jesus Christ. We need to cling to the cross. We need to cling to God. So, this may seem like a really weird way of answering or looking at the problem of suffering. And I know that probably there are still lots of questions that you have that I haven't even addressed. But I think that this is the most important thing to understand about what the Bible has to say about suffering. That God himself suffered to free us from suffering if we turn to him. The Bible doesn't always answer us or give us all the easy answers, but it does show us the solution. It does show us who God is and how we can be free in him. And in the light of the cross, in the light of Jesus Christ, our sufferings begin to pale in insignificance, both in terms of understanding our own sufferings, that they are nothing in comparison, but also in terms of understanding God's greatness. You know, in the light of the cross, in the light of God's grace, nothing quite seems to matter nearly so much, because God is so amazing and so good. And I know that's really easy for me to say. That's easy for me to say as someone that hasn't experienced a great loss, someone that hasn't experienced a close friend or family of mine die or go through traumatic illnesses. I haven't struggled financially. Myself, I'm in fairly good health. I know that that's really easy for me to say in my position, and I want to be sensitive of the fact that it might not be so easy for all of us in those times of great suffering. But it is true. It is true that Jesus Christ, in comparison, he is so much bigger and greater and stronger than any suffering. And so in those times where things are hard, it can be so tempting to want to think about those questions of why God, why is this happening? But the most important thing that we can do in those times of suffering is cling to Jesus Christ, because he is good, he is amazing, and he can help you through. He can give you the strength. So if you are here today and you are a Christian, I want to urge you to cling to the cross and cling to Jesus Christ, who has rescued you and who is making you more and more righteous, more and more in his likeness through the power of the Holy Spirit. I really want to challenge you to do that. And if you are not a Christian here today, then I really would ask you to consider what I'm saying. I really believe that you need Jesus Christ. You need him to make sense of suffering, and you need him to free you from suffering. So I know that maybe what I've been saying today isn't comfortable or it's challenging. And maybe you completely disagree with me. And maybe you still have more questions. But what I want to urge you is to, at the very least, take what I'm saying seriously. Please, I don't want anyone to leave today thinking, oh, okay, that was interesting, and then just kind of move on from it. If you are not a Christian yet, at least please consider what I'm saying. Because if what I'm saying is true, it's seriously important, isn't it? It is seriously important. So it's something that you cannot afford to just kind of toss aside and not think about. It is something that you need to think about. It's something that you need to take seriously and need to consider. The Bible tells us a lot about suffering, but most significantly, we see we learn lots of things about suffering through these three extremely significant, important moments in history. The moment where sin entered the world, and the moment when temporary suffering will end forever, and the moment when the ultimate expression of suffering took place. And I'm afraid that's all I have time to talk about now. And I'm sure you still have questions, but please do feel free to ask me questions at the end. I can't promise to know all the answers, but we can talk about them together. Great. So I'm going to invite the band forward, who are going to play a song for us. And the song is really about finding strength in God, even through times of great trouble and times of great hardship. And if you know the words, then feel free to sing along. But if you don't know it, then please do feel free to just sit and listen and pray. And please do feel free to pray, whether you believe in God or whether you don't, pray to him and ask him to reveal himself to you in a new and fresh way. But let's pray before we hand over to the band. Lord God, thank you so much that you entered into the world to free us from eternal sufferings. Thank you, Lord God, that you have brought a solution. Father, we confess that we don't always understand. We can't always make sense of everything that happens. But we pray, Lord God, that you would help us to cling to you in those moments. Father, thank you that your grace is more than enough. Thank you so much that your cross is everything that we need through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you would work in us, speak into our hearts this evening and help us. I pray, Lord God, for those that are going through really tough times right now. I pray that you would be in them, comfort them, Lord God, show them that you love them. Show them that you love them ultimately when you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.